Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
I thank God that you are able to see my heart, and not just my heart, but my husband's heart, our own General Andrew as well. And I give honor to him, for he is the angel of the house. He is definitely a man who definitely has been the most faithful and the most forthright in honoring what God has placed upon his life, the vision to carry out on this earth. And I tell people all the time, I said, definitely, this wasn't something that we inherited. No, no, this was something that we had to birth out our own. This was something that we had to establish on the earth. And I don't think most people get how hard that is, because most people who take over a ministry, it's already established, it already has foundation, it already has pillars, it already has been tilled as far as the person who first planted the ministry have broken the ground. But when you're doing something from the ground up, you're tilling, you're breaking the rock, you're breaking the gravel, trying to institute pillars. And I thank God, because definitely when he's given you a vision, he will also grant you grace. And when he's given you a vision, he will also sustain you with strength. And this is why we are so strong, and this is why we can endure so much. We're like calloused all over. Nothing really affects us, but it's not because of our doings, because the Bible does let us know to be strong in the Lord and be powerful in his might. So we stay anchored in the secret place, and that's why we can teach you with confidence. That's why we can give you strategy with confidence, because we know what works. We know what will protect you. We know what will preserve you. We know what will provide provision. We know what will also incubate you and keep you safe in the secret place. We don't just tell you what we read. We tell you what we lived, what has worked.
Because
we have tested it and found it to be true. So you take it and do with it what you will. All the way from Denmark, and that's our special daughter, Linda, who we love. We love her so much, and we love her and her spirit and her sincerity. I was showing her off. I went to Chicago for our conference not too long ago, and I was able to meet with my family, and I was able to show her off to my family because they were looking at some of the jewelry I had. And I said, oh, this is the jewelry that came from one of our daughters. And I was able to pull up some pictures and tell her, tell them all about her. So we want to give a special honor, because she's calling in from overseas, and she's so resourceful, and she was able to find out a way that works for her to be able to call in and listen to the word of God. So we honor you, and we thank God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
And all of you all who are on the line, under the sound of my voice, I give honor to you as well. Thank you for coming on the line to receive your empowerment, to receive your uplifting inspiration, and also strategy and wisdom that will carry you on throughout the week, and hopefully throughout your life, because what I'm going to teach you is the second part of last week. And if you
Hallelujah.
Were not on here last week, my, you have to go back and listen to the part one. It is uploaded on the website, so you can click on that and listen to it. But definitely, you'll be able to listen to this one now and then go back to the first one to get what I laid the foundation with part one. So I'm giving you enough time to get that. Hopefully, you have your journals, your notebook, and the Word of God with you. I'm going to, as I say, not be before you long. I preach it so that we can hang up, and you can go and live it. I preach it so you can go and live it. And that's the whole purpose of us being as pastors, to give it to you, not to hold your hand and do it for you, but to give it to you so you can go out there and carry it out. So that's amazing. that we have this opportunity to come before you. I want to talk to you about part two, and part two of the law of the mind. So I want everyone on the line just to make sure you're here. Repeat after me. This is part two.
This is part two.
Of the law of the mind.
The law of the mind.
Amen. All right, you're awake, so that's good. All right, it's going to go fast, so you can't blame me if you look up and say, wait a minute, I missed it. So if you're not able to take notes, that's fine. This, too, is also being recorded. You'll be able to listen to the playback of this call or go on the website and let it play on your browser. So with that being said, I talked about just a quick recap, the law of the mind. I talked about how every life battle is a mind battle. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a thing about self-esteem, whether it's about your marriage, your children, your job. Every battle you have will always be a conflict in your mind. You know why? Because when the enemy comes to bring trials and tribulation, he doesn't attack you necessarily anywhere else but first with the seed of the mind. He first plants the seed of thought, and that thought carries on. Because I'm telling you, depending on what you allow your mind to focus on, it ultimately does affect the other senses of your body. This is why it's important when you are feeling overwhelmed or having maybe an anxiety attack or panic attack, they tell you to focus your mind. Now, you are the one that's saying you can't breathe, and you're gasping for breath, and you're feeling lightheaded, and you can't stand, but they don't focus on your legs. You say, I can't stand, and I'm feeling weak. I'm about to faint. They don't rush to your legs and start feeling on your calves and take off your shoes, do they? No, they don't. So when you start saying, oh, I can't breathe, what do they first do? They say, ease your mind. Focus on something. They may allow you to sit down, but they're first thinking about your thoughts. They're mending your focus. And then once you begin to focus on something that is maybe of a childhood, of a good memory, guess what? All of a sudden, you gain control of your breath. Oh, okay. All of a sudden, you get a little strength in your leg. Oh, I'm not feeling that weak anymore. Now you focus your energy on a positive thought, and that thought now controls everything else, your heart rate, the stamina of your legs. It's amazing how strong our mind is. So with that being said, now let's talk about our mind. Our mind here, the mind, the law of the mind, every battle begins with your mind. So if you win in your mind, you will win in life. That's a heavy one. I talked about that heavily. If you start winning in your mind, you'll realize that you're winning in life. You'll start thinking differently, speaking differently, walking differently. You'll speak the language of champions and not that of defeat. You'll begin to know that no matter what trial or tribulation comes against you, you will be victorious. You won't be coward or afraid or wimpish. You'll be able to stand flat-footing, knowing who is fighting with you and before you. You will know that more is he that is within me than he is in the world. You'll know, even as the story goes, that as the king came against the prophet, he said, you know, to the servant, the prophet said to the servant, Lord, open up his eyes. And the servant's eyes began open, and all around them on the mountaintops were angels on chariots of fire. You begin to understand that there are people, there are angels that are fighting with you and for you, and that even though it seems like it's one boss, one supervisor, one child, one husband, one wife, even though it seems like it's two sisters, one brother, even though it seems like there's one neighbor across the hall that is coming against you, you'll remember that, you know what, even though this person seems to be so big as a trial or tribulation, I have angels that are fighting on my behalf. Not that we wrestle against flesh and blood, but I'm fighting against those principalities that are trying to come against my peace. So you'll be able to stand flat-footed knowing that you're honoring the law of the mind because you are keeping, hallelujah, God's promise on your mind. If you win in your mind, you'll win in life. Somebody repeat after me. If you win in your mind, you'll win in life.
If you win in your mind, you'll win in life.
Amen. Yes, so very true. So I talked about last week, I said there are three things your mind needs. And I got to number one, but I didn't get to two and three. So the number one that I gave you on last week, and I talked extensively on it because it was powerful. Number one, your mind needs a focus. I said you need to focus on something, your future. I talked about how your memory, the purpose of your memory is to replay the past, but the imagination pre-plays your future. You can't get to be an adult and forget about your imagination. Your imagination is your creative process. Your imagination is a strong part of your faith. If you can't visualize yourself in the new car, if you can't visualize yourself in the new home, if you can't visualize you receiving a letter in the mail and at the bottom where it says balance due, it says now a credit is owed to you. If you can't visualize your child coming home and saying, Mama, I love you. Daddy, I love you. If you can't visualize yourself with that new career, getting the promotion, if you can't visualize and imagining and pre-playing your future, you are stuck.
That's right.
You better understand how important your imagination is. Everything I have right now, I've had to pre-play it in my future. I had to use my imagination. I had to call those things to be not as though they were. Well, that's what it is. It's imagination. Before I got my new car, I had to envision myself with a new car. General Andrew, we had a broke down minivan with no turning signals. We had an electrical shortage. It was bummy. But we were humble, and we were still giving God praise that every time we turned the key, the ignition started. So we had a bummy car, bummy minivan, MPV Mazda. 2003, it was old, had over 150,000 miles on it. We said, Lord, this is not who we are. We are kings, but I'm waiting on you to give us what we need. So he said, well, until then, imagine what you want to ride in. General Andrew, when we would be driving, he would start using the turning signals. Now, they didn't work. It was an electrical outage. We drove dangerously. I mean, dangerously. It was hundreds and hundreds of dollars, more work than what the car was worth. So we drove around for a short time like that. But he said, I'm using the turning signals. We would go and make a right turn, and he would turn on the turn. I said, what are you doing? He said, this is my new car. My new car will have turning signals. I must always be in the habit of using my turning signals. We began to get it washed and shined, and it had rust all over the car. You know, we were from Chicago. We had a bad snowstorm, so that salt ate up the car. But we started getting it shined and waxed even more. He said, this is our new car. We will keep it waxed and get it the high-quality washes. I said, okay. We started doing things around the house. I'm always a clean person, but I really began to just look at magazines about new pictures and paintings and appliances and all of that. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting ready for my new home. It's going to have a different color scheme than we have now, so I need new paintings. He said, okay then. We begin to pre-play our future. When I was working and I wanted a new job, I began to imagine myself going in and meeting John Doe, my supervisor, HR representative, and them handing me my offer letter. I began to pre-play how much money they would give me, what they would offer me, and how I would counter-offer, and I would be awarded with even more money than what I even counter-offered. I began to do that. And do you not know, as I pre-played my imagination, my future, it began to come to pass. I began to play my future, and I began to say, you know what? I'm focusing my mind on receiving checks in the mail. I'm focusing my mind on receiving debt cancellation. I'm focusing on my mind to look at this new job, and I'm going to get offered, and I'm going to be making X amount of money for my salary. And when I begin to do that, do you not know that I begin to place my angels on an assignment? I begin to speak life, not death. I begin to act like I had somewhere to go, walk like I knew where I wanted to be. I begin to dress like the position I wanted to get. And let me tell you something, it was just as easy as pie. When I begin to apply this strategy, it came to pass.
Ooh, amen. Amen.
I will walk on the set. I will walk in the job. And before I left, the lady said, I don't know about you. I'll give you some more time to think about it, but I like you. I'm offering you right now the job. Bam. Just like I had pre-played my future, it happened. Mm-hmm. It was another job. I wanted to make an X amount of money. They lowballed me. They said, well, we can offer you this amount of money. So I came back. I knew my worth. I said, no, I want $6,000 more a year. They came back and offered me 8,000 more. Bam. Just like I future, my imagination pre-played my future.
Amen.
I live what I preach, and it has happened. Just like Apostle Andrew began to use the turning signals, and we got to take care of our car. Just like that, on a Saturday morning, the Lord said, wake up. I said, good morning, Holy Spirit. He said, go to the dealership. I said, okay, it wasn't on my agenda, but I'll go. Must be something for me to do there, to talk to somebody, or you want to give me a new car. I waited on God until he told me to go. Definitely, we went. The guy who we were supposed to be paired up with, God definitely allowed us to cross paths as soon as we walked in through the door. He said, oh, I can take you. He was the most. He was the top salesman. He was a senior. He had been there, my goodness, probably 20 years with that company. He knew exactly what we needed. I told him what I wanted, but he knew what I needed. Took me right to the car, right to the car that we needed. Not even, my goodness, a few hours later, they pulled the car around with a big bow on top. Some of you all remember that a few years ago. We posted it online, a testimony. God did that. You know why? I pre-played it. That was my future. It was my imagination, and it manifested. You got to focus your mind on your breakthrough. You have to focus your mind on the breakthrough. So this is what I want to talk to you all today. Finishing up, hallelujah, finishing up on what God wants you to do, focusing on your mind, letting your mind have focus. That's what I talked to you about. Your mind needs focus. So now let's talk about the last two things, and then I am finished. I'm pretty much halfway through. Hallelujah. Number two, write this down. I said number one, under the law of the mind, your mind needs a focus. But number two, your mind needs an instruction. Somebody repeat after me. My mind needs instruction.
My mind needs an instruction.
All right, you said it. Now you're accountable for it. A lot of these things where people, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I feel depressed. I'm going to kill myself. You know why? It's because they're running rapid. They don't have instruction for their mind to follow. Your mind needs an instruction. What do I mean by that? You have to speak to your mind to harness your thinking. What? You mean I gotta talk to my mind? Yes, you do. Your mind needs some type of harness of thinking, but you have the will and the power to speak to your mind. Your mind does not filter the information it acquires. So it's up to you to do it. Your mind is literally an emotional magnet. It's always searching for information to verify your opinion or to escape present pain. So you got to control it. You have to discipline your mind. There you go. That's the word. You have to discipline your mind. Somebody repeat after me. I have to discipline my mind.
I have to discipline my mind.
Exactly. You know, we've been there where we've read a paragraph in a magazine or like the back of a cereal box. You know, you got to keep rereading it back to back. Why do you keep reading the back of the same cereal box? Why? Because your mind is looking for information in the desperation for new. You've read that same paragraph over and over again. It's the same cereal you've been buying for your kids for the last 5 years, but you're always reading it like it's something new. Why? Because your mind is always on a new discovery. Why do we study the Bible? Because there's a lot of people who have read the Bible once in their life. They can put the Bible up and say, I've read it. But the reason why we study the Bible, the reason why we reread the same scriptures over and over, because there's always a new revelation, a new heightening of newness that can be birthed out, although we've read it over and over and over again. You would sit with people. Yes, amen. You will sit with the people you do not really enjoy for an hour, just to hear something you need. I would do it. There's a lot of people that I consider to be champions. Would I hang out with them if I had a choice just to be my home girl, my home boy? No. But if they possess the wisdom or a strategy that I need to be successful in my life, I would definitely humble myself and sit in their presence or watch their video because they have a solution for a problem that I need.
Amen.
Something you need may be hidden in someone you do not enjoy. We're so quick to cast away people, including your boss or your supervisor or your coworker, but they may be actually holding the solution, what will make you successful for your own job. There's a lot of people that were my seniors and a lot of people who had more experience on the position that I was hired into. Did I really care for their personality? No, I did not. But did I know in wisdom that they have been on the job for 17 years? They are considered a senior advocate, and so therefore there's something they are doing that I need to learn that will put me on that same path of prosperity. Just because you don't like their hair, just because you don't like their speech, just because you don't like their personality, now you want to distance yourself from them, but what you're doing is isolating yourself from the wisdom and the solution that will get you on a prosperous path for a promotion on the job.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, you're denying your mind. Your mind is always on a prowl for knowledge. Your mind requires an instruction. Your mind needs to know, as you even talk to people or as you research it all through this year, your mind is always saying, how can I make more money? Your mind is always asking, you know, what are the reasons of for my success? What are the seven things I need to be successful in the year 2017? Why is my finances like this? I need knowledge to get my finances on the next level, to reach breakthrough. Your mind is wanting to gather the data. You know there's a need there. Your mind is pressing the button saying acquire, acquire, acquire. But if you don't understand how to give your mind the instruction to even help you pursue, 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 to even gather the data, you're going to consistently stay in stagnation, stagnation, stagnation. Did you catch what I just said?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm losing some people. This is too deep, I guess.
Amen.
It's too deep, I guess, for some people. Let me move on. Number three, I told you I'm going to go quick because I can't force this down your throat. Either you want it or you don't. Either you're ready to acquire it or you're not. Maybe this just isn't your season to receive it. But, oh, boy, when tragedy hits, when trial and tribulation come, mm-hmm. and you say, an apostle, I don't know what's going on. My mind, I'm just losing my mind right now. You think I'm going to sit on the line with you and minister to you for an hour? I'm going to tell you, go on my website, look mm-hmm. under the law of the mind, find it in my archives, and you listen to part one and part two.
Amen.
Amen.
Number three.
That's right.
Your mind needs a hero. What?
Mm. Really?
That's
good.
Your mind needs a hero. Guess what?
Amen.
Your mind needs someone, a champion that excites you.
Amen.
You need a champion that excites you. If you're not excited for my visitors on the line, if you have a pastor, if you're not excited about your pastor or the pastor's wife, both of them really, you can't choose either or. If you're not excited about both of them, if you're not excited about a champion in your life, but yet you still consider them to be a mentor, you're already hanging yourself on the noose. You have to be excited about your champion. You need to be excited about their life, about their examples. Even in the Word of God, you need an example. Abraham was an example to Isaac and Jacob,
mm-hmm.
and they were excited about them. Oh, yeah, Isaac and Jacob, they were excited about Abraham and what he did and how he laid down the foundation. Elijah, he unleashed the passion in Elisha. Ruth loved the presence of Naomi.
Yes.
Two are better than one. That equation is fine and unchanging. I was reading about Peter J. Daniels. He's a famous billionaire. Peter J. Daniels, a famous billionaire from Australia. And he began to explain the major success or one of the secrets for his uncommon success. And he talked about how when he became saved and he gave his life to God, he said he began to read over 7,000 biographies, over 7,000 biographies. And he even said, I can quote almost every speech of Winston Churchill word for word. Now, why? That may not be anything to you. You might be saying whatever, but that was his champion. He loved to read about, and he's a billionaire. I don't know about you, but if somebody says they're a billionaire or millionaire, I'm perking up my ears. Why wouldn't I listen to somebody that's already a
man.
Instead of listening to my homie and my home girl who got a lower credit score than I do, and they try to tell me how to make
that's
money.
Right.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm gonna do what my champion do. I'm gonna read what my champions read. I'm gonna follow the same steps according to righteousness, unless it's getting into other stuff. But according to righteousness that won't harm my body or my mind, my spiritual walk, I'm going to follow that.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today. And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world. That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.